Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 3. The book of Genesis, chapter number 3. And in the onset of the message today, I'm going to say something about preaching. And there are three basic types of messages or sermons, if you please, that a preacher preaches. One is topical. And when I was younger, that was what accounted for most of my preaching, was topical preaching. I'd take a topic and run all over the Bible. And then there's preaching, it's textual. If you were here Wednesday night, we preached on the subject, Noah walked with God. And you stay right in the text. There's a topic, but you're staying right in the text. It's textual. And then there's preaching that's expository. And I don't know that I've ever done much of that preaching. I've done some teaching that way. But that's where it's just verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. But this morning, I'm reverting a little bit. And what I've got this morning that God has given me is a topical message. And I don't know how long we're going to be on this thought, but Brother Keith did such a wonderful job in revival. And I can't get it out of my heart right now. And so on Wednesday night, we preached on the Noah walked with God. And today I want to preach on this subject, the ABCs of walking with God. The ABCs of walking with God. And I wrote this little note so I wouldn't forget it, but today we're just going to look at the A's. And I've got three A's, then tonight we got one B, and then Wednesday night we're going to have one C. And I thought this, Brother Chris, I wish that would have reminded me of my report card when I was in school. What would I give for three A's and one B and one C? Amen. And it was probably a whole lot in the reverse. My A's, Brother Randall, came in metal shop and gym. Amen. That's where I got my A's. The rest of it, I just survived. And let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible said in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God." What's the next word? Walking. "In the garden, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, Who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You know, I've never thought of this before, but I believe Adam and Eve were Baptists. They had a problem, and they was always trying to blame it on somebody else. Say amen. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God at Bible Way. Lord, I need your help this morning. You've put a lot on the plate. Help us, our Father, like we were kids. Mom would say, clean up your plate, son. Son, there's people in the world that's hungry. We're not going to throw it away. Clean up your plate. Help us today, our Father, to glean what you have on the plate for us. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I better just fly right into this, because if I don't, we're going to be here a long, long time. This morning, I want to use the letter A and give you three things about walking with God. And I use the text today because it's how the message was birthed in my heart. I want to talk to you about three things today: the advantages of walking with God, and then the adversaries when you walk with God. And then I want to talk to you about, in the end of the sermon today, about the adventure of walking with God. I don't know about you this morning, but an old preacher told me, as a matter of fact, it was Brother Howard Robinson. I think you knew him, Brother Chris. He said, Brother Rick, he said, we tell people, you need to pray. And he said, we never teach them how to pray. He said, we tell people, man, you need to be a soul winner. You need to be a witness. And he said, we never teach them how to be a witness, how to be a soul winner. And God is saying to us this morning, I want you to walk with me, but I want to give you some things that will help you in your walk with me. And I appreciate the Lord. Amen. I'm reminded of an old song, a little boy in Sunday school. He went home and he told his mom, he said, I finally figured it out. She said, what? He said, I know what God's name is. She said, what is it, son? He said, his name is Andy. He said, down there at the song, the church, they were singing the song, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, beloved. If you've ever walked with him, it's the sweetest walk you'll ever walk in your life. He's a precious friend that sticketh closer, the word of God said, than a brother. And the advantages of walking with God. I got three or four things right here quickly. Let me give them to you. Number one, the advantage of walking with God is you no longer have to hide. Did you know that according to the scripture, I believe before the fall, they were accustomed to walking with God in the cool of the day, amen, hearing the voice of the Lord. How many's with me this morning? And now, beloved, because of sin, they realize that they're naked and they're out there among the trees in the garden. They're trying to hide. Let me bring it down to where we live. If you'll walk with God, you don't have to hide what you're looking at on your phone. If you'll walk with God, you don't have to hide what you're looking at on the TV or what you're looking at on a computer screen. If you'll walk with God, you don't have to hide what you have in your heart, amen, because it'll be that's pleasing unto the Lord. If you'll walk with God, beloved, you don't have to hide. And you'll realize if you'll just walk with him, you can't hide anyway. You say, Pastor, why in the world did God say, where art thou, if they weren't hiding? I'll tell you why. It wasn't because that God didn't know where they were. It was because God wanted them to know where they were. Amen. It was that Adam might know where that he was. So the advantage of walking with God is you no longer have to hide. God knows everything. He knows about our secret places. Amen. I used to think that you could have a secret place in your wallet. My wife said, you got any money? I said, no, honey. I ain't got no money. She said, if I can find it, can I have it? I wish I hadn't agreed to that. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? There's a secret place in there. Amen. You try to keep a little play money in there. Amen. For a rainy day. And anyway, she gave it back to me. She's just that kind of woman. Amen. She had not took it anyway. But anyway, you no longer have to hide. Number two, if you'll walk with God, the advantage of walking with God, there will always be a present help. The Bible said he's a very present help in a time of need. He'll always be right there with you. Just walk with Him. Amen. We say, Pastor, how can He help us? Well, He can help us with our problems. How many have some problems along the way? Amen. Wouldn't it be good if we could walk all the way from here to heaven and never have a problem? But when you have a problem, God said, listen, if you'll just walk with Me, I'll be a very present help in a time of need. The Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace to help, mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Amen. We all need Him, and we need Him to help us with our problems. And then the Bible teaches us that He will help us in our paths. The Bible said He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I thought about this, Brother Jason, when God was giving me this. Brother Jason, he got up a hike a while back. Myself and Brother Rusty and Brother Matthew and there's one other one on that, and Brother Jason, that four of us, right? And be careful hanging around him. He's liable to suggest things that you ain't got no business doing if you're in your 60s. Amen. He said, we're going to start at Bays Mountain. And he said, we're going to end up at Laurel Run in Church Hill. Do y'all know that's a pretty good piece? Amen. It's 7 or 8 miles, ain't it, Brother Jason? But here's what I want to tell you about walking with God that I really like. Amen. He knows the way. You know what I remember about that trip, Brother Matthew? You and Brother Jason had them maps. I don't think you had one, did you, Rusty? Me and Rusty just along for the ride. Amen. They told us where to turn right and where to turn left, when to go up and when to go down. Amen. And it was all I could do to make a trip, let alone direct the trip. Say amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, if you'll just walk with God, we've got somebody walking with us that's got the map. He knows how to go straight and how to go right and how to go left. Amen. He knows when to stop. He knows when to go. He knows when they're up. He knows when you're down. He knows all about us. We'll just walk with Him. That's all He's asked us to do is walk with Him. I can look back at my life. I'm talking about the last 34 years, 1987, if I'd done the math right. Would that be 34 years ago? Help me, Miss Eve. I believe that's right. But I can look back at my life, and Brother David, I can say honestly, I've had some miserable days. I can tell you what every one of those miserable days has in common. I wasn't walking with God. You'll not have a miserable day walking with God. You say, oh, Pastor, I got this problem. It don't matter. You walk with God. I'm telling you what's the truth. You'll understand, just like we heard a while ago. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Honey, I ain't going to be here long. We can get our sights. The Bible said, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. He'll help us with our paths. And then He'll help us with other people. How many understands, beloved, that if you live very long, you're going to have problems with other people? Amen. You say, well, Pastor, where did you get that? Let me give you a verse of Scripture here. There's going to be issues. There's going to be a division. There's going to be sometimes an argument. There's going to be a misunderstanding. And you say, if you walk with God, He'll help you with other people. Listen to what Paul said. Paul got on the church at Corinth. You remember that? There was a man that was committing incest. And Paul told him, said, put him out of the church. Put him out. That's what Paul said. That's not preached anymore, but that's what Paul said. Said, put away from among you. That's what he said. And watch this. That man repented. And you know what they're having a hard time doing? They're having a hard time forgiving him. And Paul come along in 2 Corinthians, and here's what the Bible said. Paul said, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it. Now watch this. Here it is. In the person of Christ. You know why Paul was telling them you can forgive? If you just walk with God. And beloved, listen, in the person of Christ, that's where real forgiveness is. I preached an entire message in a prison one time on forgiveness. And then I got down to the end of the message. In prison, Brother Chris, you know this. They're a lot of times will make more of the minister, more of the preacher than they ought to. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And I tell you, beloved, listen, I tell those men, I've taught them about forgiveness. I taught them about the doctrine of forgiveness in the Word of God. And I said, now listen. Got right down to the end of the message. I said, you break in my home. You violate one of my precious daughters. You violate my wife. I said, men, there's no way I can forgive you. You should have seen the look on their face. You just preached an hour on forgiveness. And this is what I taught them. The only way I can forgive you is in the person of Christ. This flesh wouldn't be looking to forgive you. It'd be looking to kill you. Amen. But God's people are walking with God, can understand that doctrine of forgiveness. You remember Jesus, he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They didn't like the way Jesus was being treated. God, how about we just call some fire down? Now that sounds pretty good, don't it? Watch what the Bible said. Even as Elias did, but he turned and he rebuked them. And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Let me say this to you this morning. The only way you're going to walk in that attitude is walk with God. Amen. You get away from God, you'll want to pray the fire down from heaven on them. Amen. But the Bible said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And I believe it's important, beloved, the advantages of walking with God. And then he'll help us not only he'll be a present help with our problems and in our past with other people, but he helps us with our peace. Thank God, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what you'll lose if you're not walking with God? You'll lose your peace. Amen. Peace, beloved, is one of those fruit, one of that ninefold fruit. I don't say fruits, and I don't say that on purpose, because if you got one of them, you got all of them. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. Amen. God will give us a peace. And that peace will be manifested as we walk with him and talk with him along the way. So we see the advantages of walking with God. We no longer have to hide. He'll always be a present help. But then thank God the song that Sister Jane sang this morning goes perfectly with this. He's taking us to a better home. When you walk with God, you realize, honey, I come from somewhere, but I'm a going somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going home, children. We're going home. Amen. I don't know about you, but years ago, there was a great distance between myself and my mom and dad. I lived in Maryland for a couple of years. You say, why in the world did you move back up there, right over there? She said, that song said, it will be worth it all. I say, hallelujah, is worth it all. Amen. Amen. Her mama wouldn't let her get married. She's 16 years old. I'd have married her in a heartbeat. Her mama said, ain't no way. So when she turned 18, mama can't say no more. Amen. She turned 18 in August, and I married her in September. I know, a little bit slow there. I ought to marry her the day after she is 18. Amen. We got it all planned out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something I always looked forward to. Even when I was in Maryland, 435 miles away from my mom and dad, I always looked forward to going home. Because I knew, Brother Gary, there was going to be love at home. There's going to be mama's cooking at home. There's going to be a good bed at home. There's going to be rest. There's going to be a welcome. There's going to be fellowship with my precious daddy. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you just wait. Youngins, just wait. Just wait. One of the advantages of walking with God is you'll always be headed home. And you'll realize it. Amen. The advantages of walking with God. Let me give you the second thing. The adversaries when we walk with God. You know what the Bible said? How many believe we ought to walk with God while we're down here? Now watch this. Watch this. Listen to me carefully. You know what the Bible said in the book of Job, chapter number 1? Here's what the Bible said. God said, now, Oh, Satan, where'd you come from? Walking to and fro. Boy, don't you wish we could walk with God without an adversary? Without somebody, Brother Chris, trying to mess with our mind and mess with our heart. It wouldn't be wonderful. But honey, let me tell you something. Just as sure as we walk with God on the earth, there's an adversary that walks on the earth. And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, he don't never bother me. Can I encourage you to do something? Try walking with God. You know what the whole idea was in the book of Genesis? This is what I believe the whole idea was. Old Satan come along and he couldn't stand to see Adam and Eve walking with God. He had to get him a wedge. He wanted to drive a wedge between Adam and Eve and God. He wanted to separate them. If you'll look at your life, beloved, every time you get out of fellowship with God, it's because there's an adversary that come along. He didn't like it, Brother Preston, because he was walking with God. So he gets him a wedge. He's trying anything. And beloved, he knows what works in your life may not work in my life. What works in my life may not work in your life. But he's got his wedges and he can't stand to see God's people walk with their God. I can't stand it. The Bible said, listen to this, fit this in with Brother Keith's messages when he was here. The Bible talked about an open door. Let me see if I can find the verse of Scripture right here. Let me see if I can find it here. I think it's down. Oh, 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me. That's what Paul said. Remember, you remember that last message Brother Keith talked about there in the book of Revelation? With the church at Philadelphia, he said, I've set before you an open door. You know what comes with open doors? Listen to what he said. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Not just one or two. Not just the devil. And by the way, the devil is not your greatest adversary.
That's right.
If you shave, it's the man you shaved. Amen. Ladies, if you put makeup on, it's the woman you put that makeup on. That's your greatest adversary. Amen. Our flesh must be brought under subjection as we walk with God. And the Bible said there are many, many adversaries. I want you to think about that. Beloved, it's not a picnic. It's a war. A lot of people get saved and they think their problem is going to be over. Beloved, listen. They're going to be over one day, but not as long as we're in this world. We're going to have to face the adversary. We're going to have to face the adversary, face the enemy. The Bible said, beloved, if we'll walk with God, I believe this is the whole reason we ought to walk with God, is that he might get glory. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's why we ought to walk with God. Now let me give you this last thought this morning and we'll close the message. We talked about the advantages of walking with God. We've talked about the adversaries of walking with God. Now I'm going to talk about the adventures of walking with God. I really have never in my life until God gave me this message thought about the thought that I'm fixing to give you. That the Christian life, Brother Grizzle, is an adventure. Brother Grizzle, you're not able to go out and knock on doors the way you once did. Brother John and I were visiting together one day, and Brother John said, you know who knocked on our door when we visited up there at Bible Way? Said Brother Lowell Grizzle. Brother Lowell, I wish you hadn't have done that. Brother Lowell's grinning, so is Brother John, because they know I'm kidding. Amen. I can honestly say, Brother Lowell, I'm glad you done that. I don't know about you this morning, but God has given me a thought about the adventure of walking with God. Let me ask you this. How many believes that the Bible's true, every word of God? Amen. Well, how many believes when God told Moses and the children of Israel were wrapped up, they were backed up against the Red Sea, right? And there was a wind. God took a wind. and he opened up the sea. How many believes that? And how many believes there was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left? How many believes the ground was dry? How many believes the children, brother? You think James would remember that? You think he would remember that? I believe there was fish in both sides sticking their tongue out. I'm just telling you, it was an adventure. But here's where God birthed this part in my heart, the adventure of walking with God. I want you to think about this for just a minute. Think about this. How many remembers three guys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I remember a preacher getting up years ago, how many knows who Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? I said, I don't know. He said, what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I said, yeah, I know who they are. They're the same people. That was their Hebrew name. Let me give you this. The Bible said, well, Nebuchadnezzar made him an image of gold. I'm going to talk to him one day, Brother Chris, about their adventure of walking with God. And the Bible said there was an image of gold and said, when you hear the sackbut and the psaltery, when you hear the music, you're going to bow down to that image of gold. And if you don't bow down, we've got a furnace waiting on you.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? You say the adventure of walking with God. How many remembers when Nebuchadnezzar went down there to the furnace? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is your God able to deliver you? He said, did we not throw three men bound into the burning fiery furnace? He said, lo, I see four men. How many knows the next word? Loosed. And doing what? Walking around. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you'll walk with God, you'll see an adventure in your life that others will never see. I got to tell you this little story, and I'm getting done, and it's almost 12 o'clock. Thank God Almighty. Amen. It's a miracle. I got to thinking about this in my own life. Now, I could stand here and tell you stories all day long. And they'd all be true. They would all honor God. But I got saved February 22nd, 1987. And the night I got saved, all I had on my mind is I don't want to go to hell. I knew that's where I was headed. That's all I had on my mind. I need to escape the damnation of hell. I didn't know that there was an adventure starting that night. I didn't know, Brother Chris, that I was going to get to teach the kids in children's church, that I was going to get to teach the adult men's Sunday school. I didn't know I was going to get to drive a van. I didn't know I was going to get to have radio broadcasts. I didn't know that less than 2 years later, I'd be pastor in my first church. I didn't know any of that. It's been an adventure. I'll give you this. Brother Jeff Bellamy, he came to Liberty Baptist Church when I was pastoring there. And he said, we need volunteers to go with us to prison. Miss Evelyn, I said, Brother Jeff, I'll go with you. I'll go help you. And I agreed to do that. Well, in the meantime, several months had went by. I had actually resigned the pastorate at my church. God said, you're done. And I resigned. And I stepped out on faith, walking with the Lord. Peace like a river. Where are you going to go? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. But he does. And it looked like in those early days that I was going to be pastoring the church I was saved in. They were without a pastor. They had called me and I went up there and preached for them. Now, that was not before I resigned. That was after I resigned. I don't believe in that garbage. I know of a man that told his church he was on vacation while he was candidating in another church, and that's garbage. It's garbage. A man that's walking with God in the will of God never has to hide anything. Let me tell you about this adventure. That revival meeting came up. I really didn't have time, Randall, to go. It was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday revival at Northeast Correctional Center. in Mountain City, Tennessee. I did not have time. I was pastoring when I said I would do it. But there's something called character. If you say you're going to do something, you're to do it. So here was the deal. I'm talking about an adventure. I was building cabinets to try to keep the bills paid. I was preaching revival meetings. And I didn't know this, Brother Chris, but you're supposed to be approved from the board at Rock of Ages before you start raising support, but nobody told me that. I had three churches waiting on a number when I went through the candidate school. Nobody told me that. I'm just talking about an adventure. You say, how did all that come about? Well, I said, it's what I said I'm going to do. I need to mow my grass. I need to build the cabinets. I need to study and pray to preach on Sunday. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go help them in the prison on Thursday. And then I'm going to mow my grass. I'm going to build my cabinets on Friday. I'm going to mow the grass on Saturday. I'm going to preach on Sunday. And that's, I had it all mapped out. Yeah, we can make this. It's going to be tight. We can make it. I go up there to Mountain City. And they called on me to preach the first night. I preached to those men. And the meeting was good. I tell you how good it was. I said, Lord, I think I can mow my grass, build the cabinets on Saturday. I think I'll just go back tomorrow. I'm talking about an adventure. I got up there on Friday morning and Brother Heath had me to preach in the church to the team. There was about 10 or 12 men on the team. And I preached to them. When I got done preaching, now listen to me, 10 or 12 men on a Rock of Ages team. Brother Mike, nobody hardly ever preaches twice when you've got that many men in a three-day meeting. Here I am. I'm walking across the parking lot and Brother Heath puts his arm around me. He said, Brother Rick, I can't explain this. He said, but I really believe God wants you to preach again tomorrow night. So there went my cabinets. There went my grass. There went my studying. There it all went. Little did I know that I was going to get up on Saturday morning, that I was going to be reading my Bible. God was working in my heart. And God was going to say, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Oh, I can't tell you. I didn't tell Miss Eve. I didn't tell the team up there. I didn't tell anybody, but I already knew what God had done in my heart. I remember when Brother Heath put his arm around me and he said, oh, I believe God wants you to preach again tomorrow night. I remember looking up into the blue sky in Mountain City. And I remember saying this, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but here I am. You know what I was doing? I was just walking with God. Brother Ralph, you know what I was doing after those 10 years in prison ministry? Two revival meetings in 2 years in prison that we didn't see somebody say. Two in 10 years. You know what I was doing? When I went up there to Abingdon, this church, the pulpit committee, had already talked to me and asked me to pray. You know what I was doing? Same thing I was doing when God put me in Mountain City in the prison. I was just walking with God. It's an adventure. You know what I was doing? I was coming back down the highway and the Holy Ghost said, why don't you just pull in over and pray? I was just walking with God. And you know what I was doing when God said in the book of Peter, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. All I was doing was walking with God. 11 years later, I'm glad I could tell you, all I'm doing is walking with God. I don't have a worry in the world. You say, this economy's terrible. So? They're killing one another. Well, I've read my Bible. They've been doing that for a long time. You can have a peace that passes all understanding if you'll just trust Christ and walk with God. Walk with God. It's an adventure. You say, how in the world is this story going to end? I'm glad I know that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One day I'm going to step off in his presence. And what a blessed day that'll be. The ABCs of walking with God. Tonight, we've looked at three A's this morning. I couldn't get them all under one A. Tonight, we're going to look at one B. Don't you get real excited. It'll probably take a minute or two to deliver that. I'd like for you to come back. This morning, if you're like Peter, Peter knew Jesus. Peter had walked with God. And Jesus had told him, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And if you're like Peter and over there's Jesus way over there, and you're out here warming by a fire that you ain't got no business warming by, you're not walking with God. The Bible said he walked afar off. If that's you this morning, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was you. If your Bible's not sweet the way it used to be, if your prayer time's not sweet the way it used to be, if it's not easy to tell somebody what Jesus means to you the way it used to be, could be, beloved, that you're walking afar off when God's will is for you to walk with God. And no one could preach a better message than what Brother Keith preached on the first step. You must be saved. We've all been bitten by sin. We all need to come by way of the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in your presence. Thank you for our people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us today in the invitation to be honest with God. Lord, if there's someone here, and maybe they used to be so close they could hear your voice. Now, Lord, there's a distance. God, I pray they'd get back close, get back in that place of blessing. God, I pray this morning if there's someone here that's never been saved, never took that first step, and there is, not because I judge people, but Lord, because they've told me they've not yet been saved. God, I pray that they'd know the joy of sins forgiven. They'd get on this journey. Lord, it's a wonderful journey. I remember a song, Lord, years ago. It said, I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. The last stop is heaven, some sweet day. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. You need this altar? That's what it's here for. Would you come? If you know it, sing it, would you?
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. To trust.
Wait just a minute, Brother Dale. What number is that, brother?
157.
Get your songbook.
157.
We're singing this song. Brother Dale is a wonderful man to work with. I called him this week and I said, Brother Dale, I've got this song on my heart because it goes so well with the revival and what God's put on our heart. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What a glory. You want some glory in your life? Walk with Him. Sing it, would you? Let's sing this, the first verse and the chorus. If you need this altar, come.
In the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Sing it out, would you?
Trust and obey.